The Lord be with you. It is good to have all of you in the Lord's house this day as we gather together before him to hear his word, to receive his gifts. The service is before you. We'll follow that this morning. Again, a thank you to everyone who helped out with our continuing education class this last week. It was a wonderful week of learning, of fellowship, of just getting to know one another and relaxing in a way as well. So thank you to everyone, our food people, our housing people, activities folks. It was a wonderful week. In our prayers today, we remember the Micone family. Tom's mother, Falba, died yesterday morning. We don't have any information yet on services or such. So we remember Falba's family in our prayers. Also, next Sunday, the 19th, immediately following the service, we will have a brief congregational meeting discussing the release of the deaconess position. So those of you who are congregational voting members, please remain afterwards next week as we go over that not happy matter, but something that we must discuss. Again, the service is before you. We follow that today. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown into his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. So Jesus is relaxing by the Sea of Galilee, and the masses overwhelm him. They crowd him up against the edge of the water so that he gets into a boat, and as he floats along the shore, he begins to teach them in parables. So this is the very first of the parables that St. Matthew records in his gospel, and then it sets the tone for the next several Sundays, all of which have another parable as the focus of our gospel reading for the week. But what do parables mean, though? What are you supposed to get out of them? I mean, sure, Jesus supplies the interpretation, but he doesn't always supply the application. This is what it means, he says. But he doesn't always say, this is what it means for you. So what does this strange parable mean? Now, if I were smart, I would have had the one who is with us, who knows the parables very well, preach for us today. But apparently I'm not that smart, so here I am. Over the centuries, this parable has been subjected to all kinds of weird interpretations. One of those, at one point, was that people actually thought that Jesus was talking about farming with these words. And that what you should take from this parable is where you should and you should not plant your tomato seeds or your corn or your whatever. Another way the parable was interpreted, and one that you've probably heard before, asks the question, what kind of soil are you? The problem with that is that it brings all kinds of spiritual Pilates and backflipping to make sure that there are no birds around you, that there's no rocks among you, that there are no weeds creeping up on you. That idea gets you to spend so much time making yourself ready for the Word of God that you end up spending all your time spiritually navel-gazing instead of living the baptized life. So is that what the parable is really all about? Is Jesus issuing a challenge to his people to make themselves better soil? In other words, is this essentially a parable about the law? Does it tell you to do this or to do that or you will not be saved? That's the interpretation that will only lead to despair. You've all had bad days. You have those days when you just feel dirty, as it were. So when that happens to you, should you think that you have lost the seed that God has planted in you? Now, what if that isn't the proper application of this parable? What if Jesus is offering not a challenge to you, but rather comfort to those who have heard his voice carrying over the lapping waters of the Sea of Galilee? Now, there's a shift here in the hearers that the lectionary doesn't take into account unless you notice that there is a skip in the verse numbers for today. The explanation of the parable is given to the disciples later. They ask him why he's speaking in parables. So that context does give you a clue. Because right before he explains it, he says to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So this parable is not about conversion in the sense that it gives people a challenge to make themselves ready for conversion. Rather, this parable is spoken to those who already follow Jesus, to let them know that as they spread the word of God, they can expect many of those that they speak to not believe. But in the end, Almighty God's harvest will be consummated. As Isaiah said, God's word will not return void and empty, but it will accomplish that for which it goes forth. So this parable is supposed to offer comfort to those who are already Christians, that indeed their salvation is certain, that they are a part of God's people. Christians are supposed to hear these words and realize that they are the good soil. But what of the sowing, though? What of the spreading of the Word of God? You are called to spread the Word of God, but you are not called to have specific results. Like the sower who scatters the seed all over the place without paying any attention to where it lands, you simply speak the Word of God. And it is our Father who does the work of converting and of saving. Think about how your salvation was accomplished. Jesus didn't have any help on his cross. He did all of the work of saving you himself. He alone bore your sin to its death and his. So think about how the benefits of Jesus' work are applied to you. That's God's work too. You are washed by him in your baptism when he gives you the gift of faith. And in the sacrament, Jesus gives his very body and his blood to strengthen the faith that he's already given to you. You could say he waters you in baptism. He fertilizes you with his own body and blood. So you can't challenge people to make themselves ready for conversion because Jesus already did all of that. Everything that was necessary has been done by him on his cross. The blood-soaked cross of Christ makes good soil out of mankind. Everyone on earth has access, the same access to God, because of Jesus. And it's that very word that the evil one hates so much. And that's why he works so hard to take it away from people once they've heard it. It's the same message that is so hard for so many people to cling to, which is why they fall away when things get difficult. And that's the hardest part about being a Christian, isn't it? You are a part of the great harvest, but you don't see it yet. So if you must have an application, it may have to come from Jesus' own words. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. And what Jesus says is not all Christians are exactly the same. Not all Christians do the exact same things. They don't all bear the exact same fruit. They don't all have the exact same gifts. And that's okay. You are the good soil. You are bearing fruit. You are a part of the great field planted and harvested by God Almighty. And so to borrow from St. Paul, you cry, Abba, Father, and the Holy Spirit himself bears witness that you are the children of God. And if you are his children, then you are his heirs to eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.